Tremendous decision to join us in the trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics. Today, we're in our studio talking to Zach Moss. This guy is a complete running back. He's a very, very tough runner. He has tremendous contact balance. He's going to get everything he possibly can out of every single run. He's going to finish every run hard. He'll catch the ball out of the backfield. He's outstanding in blitz pickup. We talked to him about all of that. We talked to him about how and where he learned it. We talked to him about his high school career, his collegiate career, and here in the National Football League, and already in the NFL, drafted in the third round, been traded, now signed as a free agent. he's gotten to teams every way you can possibly get to teams. We talk about that with him and so much more. You're going to enjoy Zach Moss. We appreciate you joining us once again in the trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics. As always, we are in our studios, outstanding studios provided to us by First Star Logistics. And we are joined by a very, very special guest. The Cincinnati Bengals in free agency acquire Zach Moss, running back. And Zach Moss is with us today. And we do appreciate your time, Zach. We're going to talk a little bit of football. How do you feel about that, my man?
Let's do it, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. All right. So let's go back to your senior year in high school. You rushed for 1,098 yards. You averaged 7.57 yards per attempt. You score 17 rushing touchdowns. I mean, you commit to Miami, and then it ends up being Utah. Why the change? Why the change from Miami to Utah?
I think, you know, I knew I didn't want to stay at home, you know, growing up in Miami and, you know, all the different things that offers and being so close to home. You know, I think, you know, I didn't know where it was going to be after I, you know, ended up not saying I was going to go to Miami. Obviously, I had family that went to University of Miami and things of that nature. So it was a little hard to, you know, not kind of, you know, want to, you know, continue that trend or whatever. But, you know, Utah just made it really, really easy for me to want to go there. You know, I think another big thing was, you know, playing time, how quick I was going to play. You read off some stats from my senior year in high school. That was my first year ever playing running back solely, fully ever. And we kind of talked about that a little bit when I was in Cincy the other day and I saw you. But so that was my first time, you know, only playing running back, and I wanted to go somewhere where I could, you know, continue to learn, you know, and without having to take a red shirt and playing as fast as I could. And Utah gave me the opportunity.
Because you were playing, like you said, the first year that you played exclusively at the running back position, you had been playing inside linebacker. So, I mean, I've talked to plenty of safeties that converted from wide receiver to safety, and they said, I can't tell you how much an advantage that was, having played the wide receiver position, knowing route combinations, knowing what guys are thinking, trying to set up routes and all that, and having that knowledge at the safety position, you know, seeing it not only through the eyes of a safety, but through the eyes of a former running back. When you're running the football, having played that inside linebacker position and understanding gap control responsibilities and front seven movements and all that, how much of an advantage do you think that gives you as a running back now?
Yeah, it's a big advantage. You know, definitely playing that position, kind of understanding what backers want to do, what they're taught to do. That's not a part of my game where I never, you know, I played, you know, linebacker probably from 10 to about 15, 16 years old. So just understanding, you know, the role, you know, what they're supposed to do and things like that and kind of where they're supposed to be in the gaps. And every year, you know, going through these different levels of football, you know, from going from high school and understanding that level of linebackers and how they're being taught. Then you go to college where you're playing with even, you know, guys that are very, very talented and learning how they're supposed to do it. So I've always been intrigued and I never lost that part of it because I knew it was an advantage of just continuing learning because it's only going to help me because, you know, they're mirroring me more than anything. They're trying to figure out what I'm trying to do and how quickly I'm going to declare, you know, where I'm going and things like that. So, you know, understanding that, that gives me, you know, another advantage that I can play off of and, you know, work with that and, you know, make it a little bit more easier for the offensive line to, you know, try to deliver them to their blocks and, you know, then kind of just make it happen out for that.
So Utah had some great success when you were there as a player. In your senior year at Utah, 1,246 rushing yards, 6.2 yards a carry, which is phenomenal. Rushed for 15 touchdowns. First three-time 1,000-yard rusher in school history, all-time leading rusher in school history, all Pac-12, Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year. I mean, 4,067 yards rushing, 38 rushing touchdowns, both school records. You lit it up at Utah, didn't you?
I tried. it was definitely, you know, great time, you know, going to Utah. I couldn't have, you know, pictured it happening any better. That school gave me the opportunity to play the position that I wanted to play. And, you know, I was able to excel at that position just being around, you know, guys that allowed me to go ahead and do my best on the field from, you know, obviously the players and the coaches. So it was great. And I just try to do my best each and every week and, you know, kind of leave everything out there. And, you know, I think it worked out pretty well.
When I watch you run football, one thing that sticks out to me as a former offensive lineman is your contact balance. I mean, you are hard to knock off your feet, and I mean, you'll spin, you'll do everything to keep that contact balance, and you run with that low center of gravity at, you know, at 5'9", you can, and with that, you know, the way you control your body, it's like trying to tackle a pectoral and a quadricep. You don't give much hit surface. I mean, it's like, dude, it's tough to get a big hit on you.
I pride myself on that. You know, I try to do more of the hitting than getting hit.
Yeah.
It's worked for me pretty well, and, you know, kind of staying healthy and being healthy and feeling my best. I think it's more so just from, you know, how my body's built up, you know, and that we touched on it a little bit. It's like, you know, once I started playing the position, I always, you know, loved the position, you know, the running back position, especially, you know, back in the day, you know, early 2000s, mid 2000s, it was a position that was relied on, you know, quite a bit for a while. And it was so many really good running backs. But the two that always stood out to me that I just kind of gravitated towards that I always liked was Marshawn and Arian Foster. And, you know, Marshawn was more so, I liked the way he approached the game, for one. Just the way he approached it. His body style, his body comp, you know, he didn't have big strides. He wasn't the fastest dude. He wasn't the most shiftiest dude in the league, but he could make you miss. He was hard to bring down. He had great contact balance. Just all of those things, I kind of saw myself being able to, you know, with my body makeup and kind of how I was looking at myself and, you know, the way I was training at that time, it was that guy. And then the style of running with Arian Foster, the patience, the one cut downhill, you know, not going to do, you know, the side to side, try to make you miss too much. It's going to get downhill and take what the defense gives them and keep doing that. So, you know, when I added those two together from just the approach and the mindset of and body style of Marshawn to the style of running, which Arian ran with, which I always thought he was very underrated in what he was doing. In his time in Houston. And I love his story, you know, kind of growing up being, you know, a guy that he wasn't highly recruited, you know, obviously then he went to Tennessee, and his story going through there and kind of how he rose to be able to have the success that he did in the league. So I always loved his story as well. So just putting those two dudes together, you know, I think that's why I've, put a lot of my game is from those two dudes.
You know, it's again, watching you with that low pad level, and you always have them squared up. You have them squared up to the goal line. You know, I mean, it's like, man, that's a big deal, you know. And like you say, maybe you're not gonna, you know, run away from guys like, you know, Olympic sprint or something, but you have functional football speed. I mean, if there's 30 yards to get, you're gonna get them. You know, you're one of those guys that are gonna get those yards. There's no question about that. So you come out of college and you get drafted in the third round by the Buffalo Bills. You get a guy named Josh Allen that's the quarterback with that football team. So they're going to throw the football. So now it's very important that let's pick up my, you know, be able to do it and understand what I'm supposed to do, you know, not blow an assignment and have a free runner at Josh Allen. And then when I am in the correct position, making sure techniques, fundamentals, all those things are right, and being able to catch the football, you know, out of the backfield and providing an alternative there. Did you develop those two skills even further in your time with the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, I definitely developed both of those skills even further. You know, in college, obviously, my running back coach in college, Coach Kyle McDonald, who is now the running back coach at the Chargers, he taught us early on how to pass block, like, and the importance of pass blocking, right? You know, the importance part of it stuck out to me, obviously, because I knew I had dreams and aspirations of going to that next level. And hopefully playing out a lengthy career. And, you know, it's real easy for anybody to run the ball. Like, you can put almost anybody to run a ball. That's really not that hard. You see it now. They got receivers, you know, lined up in the backfield and things of that nature. So it's not, you know, super hard to run the ball. You can fall for it and get 4 yards sometimes.
Right.
But, you know, he taught us that, you know, the thing that was going to make you stick in this league is pass protection, right? Being able to block for the, you know, the franchise. You know, you play in college, sometimes, you know, you might be the best player on the team, or somebody on your defense side might be the best. Your quarterback sometimes isn't always the best player, right? In this league, the quarterback makes every single thing go. So when I got drafted to Buffalo, it was like a perfect matchup from having, like, okay, well, I'm not really worried about not being able to play because I know I can get on the field and I can block, right? And then once I put, you know, the time in and learning and all that type of stuff into the, you know, learning the nuances of the offense and what we want to do and execute each and every week, you know, it made it so much easier to go out there and play. And, you know, blocking was something that was big for me then. It's been big for me every year since. And, you know, in this league, you're going to play with really, really good quarterbacks if you stick around long enough. So if you can block, you're just going to continue to add years to your career. And the more you can do, the better. So being able to block and understanding my blocking assignments is, you know, very, very big for me and something I take pride in.
Yeah, that's going to be beautiful music to Joe Burrow's ears when he hears this, that you're talking about how important, you know, blitz pickup, pass protection, all that sort of thing is. And you know, you have a very high football IQ. I mean, in terms of the intelligence of knowing, you know, who you're supposed to block, and working with, you know, your tight ends, everybody else involved in the protection, the offensive line, you know, what linemen are going to take block from the inside out. And you've got this outside guy if he comes. And sometimes there's like, okay, I've got the inside guy, but if he doesn't come, I check back out to the outside guy. All those things that go along with it. Everybody feels very comfortable about your ability to handle all that. Have you always had a pretty good football IQ?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely something that's, you know, as years ago, you try to figure out ways to continue to get better and learn more about the game and things of that nature. But it's something I've always had more of a natural ability to kind of just understand. It can be, you know, a good and a bad thing because I can learn, you know, look at a play one time and execute that play, go out and just run it once, and then it's kind of stuck without me really trying.
That's great.
So it's a good thing, you know, that I can just go on the field and, you know, if we're in, depending on what protection we're in, you know, and I don't like to kind of hide anything. You know, I'll go out and I'll point at exactly at who I got, where I'm supposed to go next. I'll just go stand and point directly at those two guys. Or three guys, whoever it is. And, you know, in Buffalo, they gave me a lot of responsibility. You know, the backs there, we had to do a lot of responsibility of knowing, you know, pass protections and pass blocking and being able to scan left to right at all times, no matter what side of the field we're on. You know, sometimes in this league, you know, a lot of teams, they'll, you know, slide the protection away from the running back.
Yep.
That way, you know, they don't have that much to do in a sense, right? But in Buffalo, we would slide it to us, from us. It really didn't matter. And then being in that conference, you know, playing against New England and Miami, and Miami at the time was kind of a New England-based defense, so just different body types. And, you know, it was kind of – it was real, you know, good to learn and see different body types and, you know, kind of be able to process from there. So now when I see a linebacker body type, I know exactly where he's supposed to be, where he's not supposed to be. And then if it's a DB, you know, you bring the safety down to that spot, I can also, you know, be able to understand what their job is and things like that. And, you know, I've also just had really good coaches as well, you know, throughout my time that helped me learn and process the game a lot faster and just broke it down nice and easy. And, you know, I just be able to put my own touch on it.
So you were drafted in the third round by the Buffalo Bills, and then you get traded to the Indianapolis Colts. So you're with another franchise. And then at the end of July, you break your arm, broken arm. You have to have surgery this past season of 23. But you come back and you lead the team in rushing, 794 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns, another 192 yards receiving, 2 more touchdowns, you know, almost 1,000 yards of offense, 14 games you played, 8 of them you started. I mean, what was it like making the transition from Buffalo to Indianapolis? How similar, how different were things for you offensively and with your responsibilities within those offenses?
Totally different offense. totally different offense. When I got there, you know, we had Matt Ryan with the starting quarterback. So it's a totally different offense from being in offense with Josh. Being in offense with Josh is more, you know, spread and, you know, kind of spaced out and things of that nature. In Indy, when we had Matt, you know, it was very systematic type of offense and things, everything kind of played off, you know, each other. But when I got there, you know, it was a good thing. I was kind of, you know, happy to go to Indy because I knew it was a run first team, which was, that's who I am. I'm a back that loves to be able to run the ball, you know, 15, 20 touches. I'm able to handle that. And I feel like I've done, you know, a pretty good job each and every time that I've been able to get that amount of opportunities. But so when I went to Indy, I was like, okay, well, I know I'm going to be able to be in the team that runs the ball. Obviously knew JT was going to be there and things like that. And, you know, he's a hell of a player. So I didn't know what it was going to look like, how many, you know, I didn't really have any expectations on, you know, playing time, anything like that. Unfortunately, he ended up getting injured and I was able to finish out the season.
Right.
And, you know, it was I had, you know, one really good game that I was proud of, you know, that ended the season out, but those 3 or 4 games where I was the starter, you know, it was crazy because I was just getting my feet back wet, right? I hadn't played, you know, essentially in that capacity, you know, of a game in a while. So it was like, okay, I'm learning the offense still. Like every week I was still learning the offense, learning the plays, learning everything kind of, and then learning the guys in front of me
right
as well at the same time. So with all that, like, but I felt like I kept getting better week after week after week. Like, JT got hurt the Vikings game. I was the next man up, so I finished out the Vikings game. Didn't have a great game, but, you know, I took away from the film and being like, okay, just getting on the, you know, okay, cool. Then I think we ended up playing the Chargers next, and I had about 67 yards that game. And, you know, I felt good about that and just what I was able to do, essentially. Then we played the Giants and had about another 60 or 70 yards again. So I was like, okay, I'm feeling good. I know, you know, this offensive line that I got can obviously block the run. They have been great at blocking the run for years.
Right.
So I'm like, okay. And then the Houston game, in the season out, you know, that was just a beautiful game, just the way to close that out, you know, go into the offseason with all type of momentum, feel really, really good. At least put myself in, you know, the RB2 going into next season. Obviously, we knew we were going to have new coaches and all this different type of stuff. So, you know, I was like, okay, well, I'll put enough here, right, to be able to, when they see it, they're like, okay, we can probably use this guy. And then, you know, obviously JT's injury and then contraction and stuff kind of just drug out throughout the offseason into OTAs and training camp. OTAs, you know, I just continued to just build and build and build confidence and learn, you know, now we have new offense. So learning the new offense and getting, you know, just getting to work with those guys and putting the work in as the RB1 at the time. So, you know, I was feeling pretty good and training camp came around and did about the first week of that. And then, as you mentioned, broke my arm, my forearm on the first day of full pads.
Unreal.
Yeah, so, you know, automatically, you know, a lot of people would just go straight into that mindset of like, why this, why that, bad timing. And, you know, you go on social media and you see, oh, he missed out on the opportunity, you know, all these different type of just, you know, conversations that's happening and things like that. But, you know, I just stayed into my routine and just tried to do my best to rehab and get as healthy as I could. Ended up only missing one game, and man, I couldn't have, you know, pictured it happening any better than it did when I came back.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, that's an unbelievable recovery, and then to put up the numbers that I talked about that you put up are just phenomenal. So now you were drafted in the third round, you were traded, and now as a free agent, you signed with the Cincinnati Bengals. So, I mean, you've experienced the gamut of how, you know, how you can, from a personnel standpoint, how you can move around the National Football League. And the good news is the only other one is termination. You don't want to deal with that for a while. You got about 10 years left before you deal with something like that. But, so you come to Cincinnati, a 2-year contract. What did you like about the potential of joining the Cincinnati Bengals organization when you were in the process of making your decision?
Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, when, you know, Cincinnati got in the picture, you know, honestly, it was kind of late in the day when they came around because I hadn't even been really thinking of Cincinnati being a potential spot. So, you know, when it came around, you know, the first thing that went through my mind was, okay, well, I know the type of talent they have on the offensive side of the ball, right? And then we just had played last season, and I knew the offensive talent, obviously, from last year, then the years before, Super Bowl run, AFC Championship run, being one play away from going to two straight Super Bowls, and being only a few plays away in that Super Bowl in L.A. for winning. So I knew the type of talent was there. And, you know, I kind of said it, you know, all through the presser the other day, but just the space, like, just the space for a running back to be, you know, in an office that has space is, you know, pretty. And I, you know, I took pride in, you know, going against defenses, knowing they might stack the box, you know, maybe having to deal with a safety and, you know, sometimes getting tackled by 5-6 dudes and, you know, only getting 4 yards. You know, I took pride in that sometimes,
right,
a lot of time. But, you know, being able to go into a team that, you know, loves to execute plays and build offense out of space and then having the weapons outside to do it, you know, that's going to be huge. You know, last time I played in the offense was space to that degree, right? You know, we had my senior high school, we had 5 dudes go Division I at receiver.
Wow.
And our quarterback, obviously, Tyler Huntley, I played with him in Utah, and now he just signed with the Browns. So I think he played the Bengals in playoffs 1 year when Lamar was hurt. So the last time I was in offense with that much space, I didn't even know that stat, but you said 7.2. Now, obviously, this is the league, and it's probably not going to be 7.2.
Right.
I want to put that out there and make that real clear. But, you know, there's something about just being in offensive space, you know, knowing, okay, the most I can really see, right, in a box is, you know, 5-6 guys. If you do any more than that, man, you know, it's going to be real bad for you, like really quick. I mean, just because you've seen it just over the years, man, these guys, you know, Jamar and T and Joe, and now you add Mike Gesicki, you know, come across the middle and Irwin and all these guys that have been a big part of, you know, the team for a while now, you know, it's hard to load up a box. It's just really, really hard. And then when you have a quarterback like Joe who can see the game the way he sees the game and gets the ball out of his hands so fast and, you know, takes advantage of every single thing that the defense gives him, you know, and that makes it really, really hard. So, you know, I'm looking definitely forward to OTAs and kind of seeing, you know, carving out a role and kind of seeing what that role is and getting with the big guys up front and just learning those guys and kind of seeing, you know, how I could help them and, you know, vice versa. Because I think it could be a good thing. We got a lot of talent in the running back room as well, obviously. You know, so with that much space, you know, we got guys that can do a lot of damage. And it's all about, you know, going out there and doing it.
So you mentioned, you know, that during the course of your career in Buffalo, Devin Singletary was somebody that you kind of split duties with a little bit. Jonathan Taylor with the Indianapolis Colts. And you mentioned here in Cincinnati, I mean, everybody knows Brown had some success, obviously, with the Bengals as a rookie. He can hit the home run. He's a long speed guy. There's no question about that. So, I mean, you weren't really promised any role as such other than, you know, you're going to be part of the running back room and let's go out and compete and see who gets what. But, I mean, obviously, they think highly of you to sign you as a free agent and to get after it. They understand the talents you have. But in today's NFL, you don't want to beat the heck out of one running back. There's no question about that. You want to have, you know, multiple bodies. But, man, I'm excited to see you in a situation where that box isn't loaded. Like you said, you know, I mean, the field spread, they got to have people out there covering, or it's going to be a one-play drive, man. It'll be over. And then, you know, to see you take advantage of those light boxes, man, I'm excited to see you get after it. I really am.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a lot of fun. Like you say, you know, it's all about the work, you know, the work we're going to put in, that we've been putting in right now, and then obviously the work we're going to put in during OTAs and, you know, building that camaraderie and obviously us, like, you know, the new guys we're joining in and things like that. So our job is to come in and, you know, give these guys and, you know, work our tails off and, you know, do our best that we can each and every day and just make sure that it's full with, you know, competition, you know, and being leaders and being accountable and being able to depend on each guy that, you know, no matter what the role is, whatever the roster spot is, just being guys that, you know, this guy can look over to and be like, okay, I can depend on this guy and he knows his job and he's going to do his job at a high level.
I think everybody listening to this podcast will agree that you're intelligent, articulate, you know, you're seem like a heck of a good guy. And the Bengals have built a culture with great chemistry, you know, in the locker room, and you're going to be a great addition to that. And what sold me is, you know, on a day so important to you, who's with you, your wife, your 9-month-old son. I mean, you're a family man. I mean, there's a, that had to be a big day for you, a great day for your family, man.
Yeah. It was definitely was, you know, I definitely wanted to have him there for the memories. And, you know, I'm big about creating memories and things like that. You know, those are things that last. And if we, as many as I can create, that's what I want to do. So it was definitely a great time, great day. And hopefully we can continue to build on that going forward.
Now you have to just decide. I'm sure you and your wife didn't have time to go look at real estate locations or anything like that where you might want to live and everything that goes along with it. But that's going to be part of the process now. And I was married my rookie year in the National Football League as well. In fact, I get married like a week before training camp, my rookie year. And I'm a guy that can attest to the fact that wives, man, they're MVPs. When you have a wife, an understanding wife, what it's like to be married to a professional athlete, that's a rare breed. I mean, for them to handle it well, that's a big deal. That's a big plus, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely a big plus. It's you know, it's so much demand that's required from us, you know, and a lot of people think, you know, it goes into the off season too, just the daily commitment of being your best, feeling your best. You know, you don't always feel your best, so that can be a little tough as well.
Right.
But, you know, it definitely makes it, you know, so much easier to, you know, handle just the day-to-day and be able to, you know, continue to play this game at a high level.
We talked about this when you were in town as well. Frank Pollock's running game, inside, outside zone, you know, some of that zone concept stuff where you make such good decisions and make your reads either, you know, bounce outside, cut it back, or stay right on course or whatever it might be. And then he has, you know, the gap scheme where you're going to block down and it's going to pull and pin, you know, and there's angle blocking and all that going on to make sure the defense, you know, we're not going to do the same thing over and over. We're going to have multiple things to do in here, multiplicity of the run game. That fits you to a T, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, the inside zone stuff, you know, that was like definitely the first type of run scheming that I learned when I started playing running back, and that's predominantly what we ran in high school.
Right.
And then when I got to college at Utah, I went to three different offensive coordinators in 4 years.
Wow.
And, you know, it was a bit different. You know, a lot of, you know, inside zone is kind of everybody runs the same type of stuff, essentially. But being able to be in the offense that, you know, loves to utilize the inside zone game, obviously you could do RPOs and all that type of stuff off of that stuff now, which makes it give you more space. The outside zone stuff, I kind of got introduced to that more so when I got to Buffalo. That was kind of one of our more staple runs, especially under center. And then the gap scheme stuff, which Indy loved to do, was great. You know, anytime we had a gap scheme, you know, you get that list, you know, when you come in on Wednesday, you get that list of what runs we trying to, you know, put in, what the run plan is and things like that. And every time I would see a certain play on there that was gap scheme, or we had two or three gap schemes, and I was like, okay, well, we got 10 yards minimum, at least, you know, if everything gets blocked up nice and easy. So, you know, being able to have been through, you know, all of those different run schemes and have a good feel for those run schemes and, you know, understanding them, you know, I think that's really, really good. And, you know, that was also another thing that obviously intrigued me about Cincy.
Well, as a former offensive lineman, watching you on tape, I know that your teammates in the offensive line are going to love to block for you, because one thing that I always respected was a running back that, man, like you said, make a decision, put the foot in the ground, one cut and go. None of this, oh, do I, don't I, hesitation, you know, it's like, come on, man. Decide. So, watching you run, I mean, you are an offensive lineman's dream. It's like, hit it, you know, I mean, go, get after it. And you do, you get after it big time. And the big boys up front are going to appreciate the heck out of that, Zach.
Yeah, man. You know, it's great when I hear that, just because, you know, that's something that I really think about. Like I said, like just being intertwined with the offensive line and, you know, being around those guys, because you spend so much time with them.
Sure.
You know, you want to be able to understand what they want to do, and they know what you like to do. Like, it'll be times, you know, last season, you know, Big Q, Quinn Nelson.
Yep.
You know, I'll tell them, hey, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I want. Like, just get to the second level a lot faster. Don't hang. Don't post hang too long. Just go ahead and get up there, because I'm holding the linebacker long enough, you know, for you. Or he'll tell me vice versa. Hey, don't run over that way. Like, that's we don't do that.
Right.
But, you know, just being able to get downhill. You know, I like to try to get downhill as quick as I can. And you know, that keeps a lot of O-line clean, man. Sometimes you're just dancing back there. Guys start to fall into your legs and all type of stuff. So I try to get through that first line as quick as I can, keep those guys clean and healthy. And, you know, even when it's ugly and muddy, you know, just try to make the best out of it and just kind of push the pile.
Yeah, man, you run sudden. I mean, you got a burst now. I mean, your initial quickness is outstanding. And I can see why the Colts run that inside zone. They got a couple of Pro Bowlers at center and guard, you know. Yeah. Get after it with those big boys up front like that. That's pretty awesome. Well, I enjoyed the heck out of meeting you when you came in town to do your press conference. And I really enjoyed this time we spent to introduce you to everybody here today. You're a heck of a guy and an outstanding football player. And the Bengals, I know, feel very, very fortunate to have you under contract for a couple of years, my man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it very, very much.
Zach, have the best day you ever had. Thanks for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you at OTAs and getting ready for training camp. Have a good off season.
Yes, sir. I'll see you real soon. You take care.
Take care.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team.